الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt, dimension, and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Continuing with Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 269. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يؤتي الحكمة من يشاء ومن يؤت الحكمة فقد أوتي خيرا كثيرا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب. The verse reads, وعليكم السلام. He grants, وعليكم السلام. He grants حكمة, which we will see what is, how it is defined, but usually it is defined as wisdom. He grants hikmah to whom he pleases. This is Allah granting hikmah to whom he pleases. And he to whom hikmah is granted, wa alaykum salam, and he to whom hikmah is granted is indeed granted abundant good. But none remember or will receive admonition except men of understanding. Shaykh Abdul Rahman Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah says in commenting on this particular ayah, لما ذكر أحوال المنفقين للأموال وأن الله أعطاهم ومن عليهم بالأموال التي يدركون بها النفقات بالطرق الخيرة أو الخيرية وينالون بها المقامات السنية أو السنية. The Shaykh said, when Allah mentioned the condition or the affair of those who spend in His cause, and that Allah had given them from His bounty, and that Allah has bestowed favors upon them with which they are able to receive good, because they get a lot of good reward because of the wealth which they spend seeking Allah's pleasure. ذكر هو ما هو أفضل من ذلك وهو أن يعطي الحكمة من يشاء من عباده. Then Allah thereafter mentioned that which is better. What is better than having a lot of fulus and a huge salary which you spend in the cause of Allah? Is that you are given wisdom. You're given wisdom, which is far better than that. That He gives it to whomever He wills among His slaves. Not everybody would be given wisdom. This is something Allah Azza wa Jal will choose among His servants, those whom He will give wisdom. Not that the others will lack wisdom, but wisdom is like intelligence, and people are not at the same level of IQ. Some are more intelligent than others, and some are more wise, or wiser, excuse me, some are wiser than others. So this is what we're trying to aim for here. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ بِهِمْ خَيْرًا مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. So Allah gives it to those whom He intends goodness for among His creation. He gives them hikmah. The Shaykh said, والحكمة هي العلوم النافعة والمعارف الصائبة والعقول المسددة والألباب الرزينة وإصابة الصواب في الأقوال والأفعال. Unbelievable definition. Hikmah, wisdom, is beneficial knowledge, correct understanding, intelligence that is sound, minds that are firm, and being able to aim for that which is correct in one's statements and actions. Acquiring or attaining correctness in your statements and your actions. This is the complicated definition. I will give you a simplified definition. Wisdom is putting the last piece of a puzzle where it belongs. You have a huge portrait, and there's a missing spot in the middle, and you have that piece on the side. Wisdom is that you don't put it in your pocket, or you flush it down the toilet, or you toss it out the window. Wisdom is that you get that piece and you put it where it belongs. That's right. Say, doing the right thing at the right time, saying the right thing to the right person, being able to distinguish between your audience or audiences, if that noun is pluralized, there's a difference of opinion among the linguists whether you can say audiences or not, because audience is like a collective noun. Anyways, being able to say the right thing. For instance, you don't go to a group of Hindus and you give them a lecture about how Jesus is the Messiah, the son of Mary, who's the messenger of Allah. Right? Now, you may be very good at conveying that message, message of the connection between Islam and Christianity, but not to a Hindu crowd. To a Hindu crowd, you need to address issues pertaining to the Hindu belief. Right? This is wisdom. The wisdom is that if you're married, who's married? Raise your hand. Only three brothers are married here? Come on, man.
No, married.
Married, if you're married, wisdom is that if your wife makes food which tastes like baked butterflies or fried frogs, you don't make that clear to her somehow. You know, you say, you know, this food is, I think we should give more to the neighbors, right? We haven't been sharing a lot with the neighbors. Why don't we just give it all away for the sake of Allah? I'll just buy a hamburger down the street. Okay, honey? Otherwise, if you tell her that the food is nasty, some women already use, they know their food is horrible. It's like, doesn't make a difference. Like, yeah, I know. Some women, if you tell her that the food is no good, your life will be no good. So a wise person will say the right thing to the right individual, right? He wouldn't bust up a situation by making the wrong remark. So this is wisdom in a nutshell. The Shaykh said, وَهَذَا أَفْضَلُ الْعَطَاءِ وَأَجَلِ الْهِبَاتِ. It is the greatest of bounties or gifts that one receives from Allah. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ. This is why Allah said, وَمَنْ يُؤْتَ الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوْتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Whoever is given wisdom has been given abundant good. An abundant good. لِأَنَّهُ خَرَجَ مِنْ ظُلُمَةِ الْجَهَالَاتِ إِلَى نُورِ الْهُدَى. Because with that wisdom, he's able to extract himself from the darkness of ignorance into the light of guidance. وَمِنْ حَرَقِ الْإِنْحِرَافِ فِي الْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَفْعَالِ إِلَىٰ إِصَابَةِ الصَّوَابِ فِيهِمَا فِيهَا وَحُصُولِ السَّدَادِ. And avoiding foolish statements, deviant statements, into the statements which are sound, correct, and accurate. وَلِأَنَّهُ كَمَّلَ نَفْسَهُ بِهَذَا الْخَيْرِ الْعَظِيمِ وَاسْتَعَدَّ لِنَفْعِ الْخَلْقِ أَعْظَمْ نَفْعًا فِي دِينِهِمْ وَدُنْيَاهِمْ. And because he has been able to benefit himself with this quality of wisdom, furthermore, he will complete others. Because with that wisdom, he is prepared now to benefit the people in the ultimate way, both in their worldly and religious affairs. Once someone has been given wisdom. وَجَمِيعُ الْأُمُورِ لَا تَصْلُحْ إِلَّا بِالْحِكْمَةِ. And all these matters cannot be rectified except with wisdom. الَّتِي هِيَ وَضْعُ الْأَشْيَاءَ مَوَاضِعِهَا وَتَنْزِيلُ الْأُمُورِ مَنَازِلِهَا. Which is in essence placing things in their appropriate locations and dealing with the situations according to need. وَالْإِقْدَامُ فِي مَحَلِّ الْإِقْدَامِ. Moving, marching forth when it is required for you to march forth. وَالْإِحْجَامُ فِي مَوْضِ الْإِحْجَامِ. And holding back when it is required of you to hold back. That's wisdom. You know, being able to deal with the situation. وَلَكِنْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرْ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ الْعَظِيمُ وَمَا يَعْرِفُ قَدْرَ هَذَا الْعَطَاءِ الْجَسِيمِ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. However, not everyone will be able to remember and to benefit from this reality which Allah mentioned concerning hikmah, except the people of vast understanding, the people of intellect, the intelligent people. And we have mentioned numerous times before, and we will mention it again as means of conveying this information to our, to the newcomers who are joining us here for the first time or just recently. An intelligent person is not one who can resolve a mathematical equation or something in physics or chemistry that requires a genius to figure it out. That's not necessarily an intelligent person. Right? In fact, the most so-called intelligent people were the philosophers, and the philosophers were the most stupid of people. Because they were not even able to identify their creator. They got so philosophical that they lost the concept of God. And they came up with nonsense that everything you're seeing is virtual, right? According to some of these philosophers, that this setting right now is not real. It's like a pigment of your imagination. It's a reflection of the energy with the molecule. Some nonsense, right? That doesn't really make sense. I mean, if you knock him with a chair, he will realize that this is not really a virtual chair. This is a real chair. But these are philosophers. Now, if you read some of this stuff, it's like, this guy sounds very intelligent. but they're not. Who's an intelligent person? Someone who knows Allah, someone who knows the purpose of life, and someone who's preparing for the life to come. This is an intelligent person. Even if he is the worst one in school, even if he barely passes, if he's going to Jannah, that's a smart fella. If he's going to paradise, this is an intelligent guy. If he's not, then he's not. So these are the standards. Don't get it twisted. Now if you are intelligent in both worlds, alhamdulillah. If you understand the purpose of life and you dedicate your life to worship Allah and go to paradise, and you can serve the community with your intellect and physics, math, then this is wonderful. This is wonderful. Now you're really intelligent, right? But you cannot have the second without the first and be called intelligent, because Allah said in the Quran, no. No one will understand this except Ulul Albab, the people of understanding. Who are those? Those who are reading the Quran, not those who are turning their backs away from it. وَهُمْ أَهْلُ الْعُقُولِ الْوَافِيَةِ وَالْأَحْلَامِ الْكَامِلَةِ. These are the people of sound intellect. فَهُمُ الَّذِينَ يَعْرِفُونَ النَّافِعَ فَيَعْمَلُونَهُ وَالضَّارَ فَيَتْرُكُونَهُ. It is those who recognize that which is beneficial, so they do it, and they recognize that which is harmful, so they abandon it. It's as simple as that. وَهَذَانِ الْأَمْرَانِ وَهُمَا بَذْلُ النَّفَقَاتِ الْمَالِيَّةِ وبذل الحكمة العلمية أفضل ما تقرب به المتقربون إلى الله وأعلى ما وصلوا به إلى أجل الكرامات. These two qualities then, the first of which is spending in the cause of Allah, and second, spending wisdom, knowledge based wisdom, عليكم السلام, are among the best means with which one gets closer to Allah. With your money and with the knowledge which Allah gives you. In our situation here, those of you who are Malik Islam, or those who are reverts to Islam, alaykum salam, what is expected of us? How do you become among the wise people? When you see disbelief, you don't leave it as disbelief. Alaykum salam. Alaykum salam. Sorry, akhi. Next time early, inshallah. Huh? You share Islam with people. Otherwise, you're not wise. Otherwise, you're not wise. You see people running around disbelieving, blaspheme against Allah, all sorts of nonsense, and you just watch, or you join them in these gatherings without making a single statement of opposition, of da'wah, then you have lost wisdom altogether. If you're unable to help people financially, then you help them with the knowledge which Allah gave you. No one can be a Muslim unless they're able to explain Islam to others. Because you're not expected to give them a lecture on the misconceptions about Islam and the details of fiqh, the jurisprudence of Islam. No, no, no. All you have to do is explain Tawheed, that there's only one God and He's the only Creator. Consequently, He's the only one who you should worship, because He's the only one who will judge you on the Day of Judgment. If you cannot do that, then we have a major discrepancy here, So this is then, the Shaykh said, these are among the best means to get nearer to Allah. Spending in Allah's cause and spending wisdom, knowledge-based wisdom, in order to educate the people. And this is the highest that they will be able to reach in terms of nobility. وهما اللذان ذكرهما النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بقوله لا حسد إلا في اثنتين رجل أتاه الله مالا فسلطه على هلكته في الحق ورجل آتاه الله الحكمة فهو يعلمها الناس. This is why the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned these two qualities in a single narration. He said, there is no envy except in two matters. And what is intended here by envy, not that you wish that someone loses that blessing so you will get it. No. That you wish you had a blessing equal to theirs. Yani you wish that for the brother to keep their blessing, but you're so jealous that they are in this position that you wish to have a similar status as them. Not that you want them to be on the sideline and you in the forefront. Be careful, this is not allowed. This kind of envy is haram in Islam. Where you see someone with a good condition, good job, and you wish in your heart that Allah will give him a worse job and you will get his job. This is a sickness in the heart, a disease, not allowed. But if you wish you had something equal, why he's in this good condition, which is an exception in these two cases only. First, the Prophet ﷺ said, there's no hasad, there's no envy except in two matters. A man whom Allah has given wealth, so he is applying it in all matters of truth. He is spending the money in good. He builds a masjid. He donates some money. So you look at yourself, you say, I don't have money. I wish I had money like him so I can spend like him. Now the Prophet ﷺ said in another narration that if you simply have this intention, Allah will give you a reward equal to his. Yeah, and you see someone spending money in the cause of Allah. You're unable to spend like him. But in the depth of your heart, you wish you had money like him, so you will spend like him. Allah will give you an equal reward to this man. Because of what? Your intention. And the hadith continues. If someone had a lot of money, and they were spending it in haram, and you wished you had an equal amount of money so you can spend it in forbidden things, you would also be equal in sin. So the intention then is a serious matter. The first one. The second one is a person whom Allah has given wisdom, and so he is teaching it to the people. Person whom Allah has given wisdom, he's teaching it to the people. You can wish that you can have something similar to them. And this hadith was narrated, collected by Bukhari on the authority of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu wa arda. طيب, this was verse 269. Now verse 270. وَمَا أَنفَقْتُم مِّن نَّفَقَةٍ أَوْ نَذَرْتُم مِّن نَّذْرٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُهُ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ إِن تُبْدُوا الصَّدَقَاتِ فَنِعِمَّا هِيَ وَإِن تُخْفُوهَا وَتُؤْتُوهَا الْفُقَرَاءَ فَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَّكُمْ وَيُكَفِّرُ عَنكُم مِّن سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. Verses 270 and 271. And whatever you spend for spending, example, sadaqah, charity for Allah's cause, or whatever vow you make, be sure Allah knows it all. And for the wrongdoers, there are no helpers. If you disclose your sadaqah, your charity, it is well. But if you conceal them and give them to the poor, that is better for you. Allah will expiate you some of your sins, and Allah is well acquainted with that which you do. The Shaykh said, rahimahullah, يخبر تعالى أنه مهما أنفق المنفقون أو تصدق المتصدقون أو نذر الناذرون فإن الله يعلم ذلك. Allah tells us that no matter what the spenders spend, and those who give charity give, and those who vow, you know, that they will do something for the sake of Allah, the vowers, they vow, Allah knows it all. What does that mean? The Shaykh says, وَمَضْمُونُ الْإِخْبَارُ بِعِلْمِهِ يَدُلُّ عَلَى الْجَزَاءِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعَ عِنْدَهُ لَا يَضِيعُ عِنْدَهُ مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ. Excuse me. The conclusion, the summary of the fact that Allah knows something, is that Allah Azza wa Jal will reward them accordingly. When Allah says Allah knows what you're spending, it's not just knowledge that doesn't lead to anything. It is knowledge which will lead to a recompense, that Allah will recompense you equally according to your intention, and that nothing is wasted with Allah. Not even a grain, not even the weight of a grain of good deed will be lost with Allah. Everything you do will be accounted for, and you'll be audited for it on the Day of Judgment. Just like an accountant, he does the taxes at the end of the year for the business. Not even a halala will be missing from your account. Every good deed you do, Allah Azza wa Jalla knows of it, and He will reward you for it. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا صَدَرَتْ عَنْهُ مِنْ نِيَّةٍ صَالِحَةٍ أَوْ سَيِّئَةٍ. Furthermore, there's a threat here, that Allah knows the origination of your intention. Why did you spend? And we have explained before, وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ, for your deed to be accepted by Allah, we have two primary conditions. Who remembers them? أيوة. According to the way of the Prophet ﷺ. For Allah to accept any deed, there must be two conditions. One, for the sake of Allah. Second, according to the way of the Prophet ﷺ. If you miss one of the two, no deed for you. If we don't have both conditions, no deed. Example, you are sitting in your car, if you have a car, that is, if not, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. And one of them ladies, beggars, go, you know, she goes by your car, knocks on the window, right? Now, you want to give her some fulus. However, you want to be praised for that action of yours among the people with you in the car. You have your friends in the back, you know, something along these lines. So at the time of taking out the money, huh? What are you thinking? The brothers are going to say, MashaAllah, huh? Generous brother, very generous brother. And you open the window and you give the lady the fulus. What is your intention? Praise. You want to please Allah also. Pay attention. But alongside with that, you want some praise. Once you have reached that level, forget about the 5 riyals. You just lost 5 riyals. You just burnt it. And you may actually gain some sin. This is what sincerity. Your intention should be, I'm doing this for the sake of Allah. Now what the people think, I don't care. They like it, they don't like it, they appreciate it, they don't appreciate it. You don't pay attention to them. The shaitan will definitely whisper. He will not leave you alone. He will definitely try to inject the idea of receiving their praise. This is where you have to fight it back. Huh? Fight it back. Say, no, that's not what I'm doing. I'm doing it for the sake of Allah. There must be some struggle. If we don't do so, no deed. Why? We are missing the first condition, which is what? Sincerity. The second condition is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some people get funny, you know? And for instance, you get a funny guy who will come and say, listen man, I've been Muslim for 3 years. Say, alhamdulillah, congratulations brothers, I'm very happy for you. But I've noticed that, you know, dhuhr is only 4 rak'at. You know? And really, Allahu Akbar, akhi. Allah is great. Allah deserves 8. So from now on, I'll be praying 8 rak'at dhuhr. Good intention. He wants to please Allah. What do we say?
No.
Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pray 8 rak'at dhuhr? No. Inshallah, whatever your intention is, if you don't follow the sunnah, no reward for you. Allah will not accept your 8 rak'at, even if you pray 800 rak'at. You will get nothing but hatred and rejection. You're an innovator and your deed will be rejected by Allah. Why? Because you're trying to say, in other words, you are better than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't know that 8 was good. MashaAllah, you're the intelligent person receiving revelation. Or, you're saying he knew, but he didn't tell you. He betrayed the message. He kept some of it to himself. And somehow you got access to this very, you know, secret information. And so now you know. That's what you're saying. This is what an innovator, in essence, is saying. Once somebody practices an innovation in Islam, and you make it clear to them that this is not from the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ, and they insist on doing it, it's one of these two things. Either they're claiming that they know better than him, or that he did not do this job. He did not do his job. He left some parts out. MashaAllah, they somehow discovered it through their own means. So this is why innovation is not allowed in Islam, in any way, shape or form. And the Christians did not worship Jesus until innovations were introduced into their religion. The priest did not molest children until the issue of leading a life of celibacy was introduced into their religion. Allah never made someone not get married. Allah created men with the need for women and women for the need for men. Period. They try to go off track. Look at the news, man. You don't believe it. You don't believe it. The whole church, the whole Catholic church, man. I don't know if we can find a single exception. Dude molesting children one after the other, they move him around. Send him from Mexico to New York, just moving around. What is this? What is this? That's what happens when people innovate into the religion of God. So then why? This is why we have no innovation in Islam. You have the Quran, you have the Sunnah, you have the understanding of our early righteous generations, khalas. You stop where they stopped, and you move where they moved. We don't fall short in terms of movement, and we don't add in terms of where they stop. This is how you can guarantee yourself a spot in paradise bi'idhnillahi azza wa jal. طيب وَأَنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ الَّذِينَ يَمْنَعُونَ مَا أَوْجَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ يَقْتَحِمُونَ مَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْهِمْ ليس لهم من دونه أنصار ينصرونهم ويمنعونهم. And that the wrongdoers who prevent what Allah had made obligatory upon them, they don't carry out the obligations of Allah, and they transgress against the limitations of Allah, they will not be able to find any helpers or any protectors. They will not be able to find any helpers or any protectors who would be able to protect them from what Allah has prepared for them on the Day of Judgment. And usually in this dunya, when you're unable to do something on your own, what do? You seek help from people who can help you. When you yourself are unable and no one is able to help you, you're in a state of distress. You're handicapped. You can't help yourself, no one can help you. That's tough. So on the Day of Judgment, people, مَا لَهُ مِن قُوَّةٍ وَلَا نَاصِرٍ. In the other surah, Allah says that he will have no power of his own, as per Nu'man Khan, وَلَا نَاصِرٍ, and no assistance. He can't help himself, no one can help him, then you expect nothing but destruction afterwards. نَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةِ. Ask Allah to protect us from deviance. طيب. وَأَنَّهُ لَا بُدَّ أَن تَقَعَ بِهِمُ الْعُقُوبَاتِ. That it is inevitable that punishment will afflict them. وَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّ الصَّدَقَ إِنْ أَبْدَاهَا الْمُتَصَدِّقِ فَهِيَ خَيْرٌ وَإِنْ أَخْفَاهَا وَسَلَّمَهَا لِلْفَقِيرِ كَانَ أَفْضَلٌ. And Allah informed us that if you give sadaqah openly, it is fine, it is good. However, if you hide it, if you conceal that sadaqah from the eyes of people and then you give it to the poor and the needy, then this is better. Right? Why? Because there's more guarantee for sincerity. When no one knows you gave money, you don't look for praise anymore. Whereas when you are in an environment where people are looking at you, the chances of you seeking praise are higher than when no one knows about it. So then the idea of giving sadaqah, charity in secret, is superior to giving sadaqah openly, even though both are good. Both are good. The ulama, the scholars do mention that at times it may be better that you give out in public. When you are a leader in the community and people will follow your example. For example, you are the imam of a masjid, or a person who's known in the masjid, and the imam of the masjid stands after the salah and he says, you know, we're having problems with our construction in the back, we need some money, we need to raise some money in order to expand the masjid, something along these lines, right? And you are known as being a person of knowledge, a virtuous person among the community. So it is recommended, and no one is doing anything, right? Everybody's holding back. Now you know, if the people saw you go out and give some money, then you will encourage them to spend afterwards. Then it becomes better in your case to do it publicly. In front of everyone, say, brother, this is the first 1,000 riyals, it's on me. Keep it your intention sincere. But this is the first on me. When people see you, for example, they know you're poor and you still spend that money, this will encourage them. Say, you know what, if he's spending the money, then why are we holding back? So this is an exception to the rule. Otherwise, the standard secret sadaqah, secret concealed charity, is superior to the one that is done in public and in open. لأن الإخفاء على الفقير إحسان آخر. Also, because it doesn't humiliate the needy person. I mean, when you give someone money in front of someone else, I mean, the hand which receives is inferior to the hand which gives. So when you give fulus in front of someone, you're kind of belittling the one receiving sadaqah from you. When you do it in secret, you're protecting his honor. Right? People don't know that he is begging for money and he is taking money from people. This is another form of goodness, subhanAllah. وَأَيْضًا فَإِنَّهُ يَدُلُّ عَلَى قُوَّةِ الْإِخْلَاصِ. Also it is indicative of the strength of one's sincerity. وَأَحَدُ السَّبْعَةِ الَّذِينَ يُظِلُّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّهِ مَنْ تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ فَأَخْفَاهَا حَتَّى لَا تَعْلَمُ شِمَالُهُ مَا تُنْفِقُ يَمِينُهُ. And among the seven who will be shaded under Allah's shade, the day where there is no shade but his shade, is a man who gave sadaqah in such a secretive manner that his left hand does not know what his right hand was spending. Even his left hand didn't know what his right hand was spending. This is how secretive he was in his spending. وإن تخفوها وتؤتوها الفقراء فهو خير لكم. If you conceal it and you give it to the needy, this is better for you. فائدة لطيفة وهو أن إخفاءها خير من إظهارها إذا أعطيت الفقير. There's an interesting benefit in this ayah that hiding it is better than exposing it if given to the needy. Not all the times, if given to the needy. Let me give an example. فَأَمَّا إِذَا صُرِفَتْ فِي مَشْرُوعٍ خَيْرِي As for the situation where it is spent in some sort of fundraising organization or event, لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي الْآيَةَ مَا يَدُلْ عَلَى فَضِيلَةِ إِخْفَاهَا. There's nothing in the ayah which indicates the virtue of concealing this particular sadaqah. بَلْ هُنَا قَوَاعِدُ الشَّرْعِ تَدُلْ عَلَى مُرَاةِ الْمَصْلَحَةِ. This is what we mentioned earlier. Here, the fundamental teachings of Islam direct us towards the benefit. What is the maximum benefit? فَرُبَّمَا كَانَ الْإِظْهَارُ خَيْرًا لِحُصُولِ الْأُسْوَةِ وَالْإِقْتِدَاءِ. Perhaps showing it is better because you become an example, as you mentioned, an example for those who follow you. وَتَنْشِيدُ النُّفُوسِ عَلَى أَعْمَالِ الْخَيْرِ. And it is means of encouraging people to get involved and get engaged in doing that which is good. وَقَوْلُهُ وَيُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ مِنْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. And he will expiate you your sins. في هذا or some of your sins. في هذا أن الصدقات يجتمع فيها الأمران. This is an indication that in one giving charity, two matters are combined for the believer. حصول الخير وهو كثرة الحسنات وثواب الأجر. The abundance of good, which is receiving a lot of good deeds and a lot of reward. ودفع الشر والبلاء الدنيوي والأخروي. بتكفير السيئات. And alleviating and preventing calamities and evil, both in this life and in the life to come, through the expiation of sins. وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ. And Allah, concerning that which you do, is well acquainted. فَيُجَازِي كُلًّا بِعَمَلِهِ بِحَسَبِ حِكْمَتِهِ. So Allah will reward everyone according to their intention, based on Allah's wisdom. Verse 272. ليس عليك هداهم ولكن الله يهدي من يشاء وما تنفقوا من خير فلأنفسكم وما تنفقون إلا ابتغاء وجه الله وما تنفقوا من خير يوفى إليكم وأنتم لا تظلمون. Not upon you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is there guidance. But Allah guides whom He wills. And whatever you spend in good, it is for yourselves. And when you spend not except seeking Allah's countenance, and whatever you spend in good, it will be repaid to you in full, and you shall not be wrong. Alaykum salam. And you shall not be wrong. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله أي إنما عليك أيها الرسول البلاغ وحث الناس على الخير وزجرهم عن الشر وأما الهداية فبيد الله تعالى. It says, meaning, what is upon you, O messenger, is simply conveying. You are means of reminding the people and encouraging them to do that which is good and preventing them from that which is evil. As for guidance, it lies in the hands of Allah. You cannot guide anyone. The guidance of success, which is known in Arabic as al-hidayah al-tawfiqiyah. But you can do hidayah irshadiyah. You can give them the guidance of direction. For example, if you ask me where's tahliya, I can tell you, you leave this street here, you get on the ramp, you stay on Medina Road, once you see the bridge of whatever, this is tahliya. طيب, this is what? Guidance, direction. But can I guarantee that you will get there without getting lost, without a flat tire, without you going the wrong direction? No. That other kind of guidance I cannot do for you. So I can give you directions, but I cannot guarantee that you'll be given success to make it to your destination. In the same light, the Prophet ﷺ guided people to the right path in terms of giving them directions. But who gives them the ability to be guided in essence? Allah. Who does Allah guide? Those who want guidance. This is the problem. People don't want guidance. That's why they're not guided. Not that Allah is depriving some of His creation of guidance. He says, okay, these are going to hell. Right? So I will not guide them. A'udhu billah. We don't believe that about Allah. Allah doesn't put people in the hellfire and others in paradise according to just, you know, desire. A'udhu billah. This is disbelief. Allah guides those who want guidance and He allows to go astray those who don't want to be guided. It's a choice of ours. It is a choice of ours. You want to be guided? Allah shall guide you. You don't want to be guided? Don't blame anyone on the Day of Judgment but yourself. The message was delivered, the messenger came, the Quran was revealed, the universal signs of Allah were all around you, you saw people dying, you realized the nonsense of disbelief and polytheism, everything has been made clear. If you don't want to be guided, that's too bad. That's too bad. There's nothing we can do. Even as Muslims, you are in a state where there's nothing. It may be the closest people to you. You can't do anything. They must want guidance. It must be from their heart. Once they reach that point, Allah will definitely guide them. Definitely guide them. But it is upon a human being to reach that. Now what do we do? We try to have the people reach that point. In the da'wah, we try to bring the people. That's why we remind them of the good and the reward, and we warn them of the punishment, so they may reach a level where they want that particular guidance. حياكم الله شيخ والله ما في ولا كرسي.
طيب
تفضل تفضل.
أنا أجيب لك كرسي.
طيب الله يحفظك شيخ سعيد. أهلين. عليكم السلام. طيب ما في مشكلة. أهلين. أهلين. كيف الحال؟ معلش just a minute the chair comes إن شاء الله. Alright. So then guidance is in the hands of Allah. This is our job. The class is here. Don't let the shaitan fool you. Then the guidance is where? With us or with Allah? See, you lost track. Guidance is... Well, it depends on which guidance. Guidance of direction? With us. Guidance of success? With Allah. Depends on the kind of guidance we are speaking about. So it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who guides. We convey to the people. How do you do so? By making the good, the truth seem beautiful and making the falsehood seem ugly. I wrote a poem called To the Christians. Okay? And in that poem of mine, I dealt with the Christians the way they need to be dealt with. You know, that their nonsense and their shirk and their lies and fabrications and so on and so forth.
Harshly, yeah.
Not really. I mean, the not really harsh. Well, it is stern. It is stern. Anyway, somebody left a comment on my site regarding that poem. They said, you know, you shouldn't be doing this. Nah? You should only teach Muslims about Islam. Teach Muslims how to be good Muslims. Don't talk to Christians. Don't address Christians. Leave other religions alone. You have your path, we have our path. No problem, no controversy, no nothing. So, is this correct?
No.
I replied, I said, listen, I'm sorry. It seems that you don't know the teachings of Islam. We were commanded to convey the religion to you, not to leave you alone. We were not commanded to leave you alone. We were commanded to convey the deen to you. How do we do so? By making the truth seem beautiful and disbelief seem ugly. This is the way of Allah in the Quran. This is the methodology that Allah used in the Quran and the methodology of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And my poem was a combination of both. My poem was a combination of both. When the people who want guidance, pay attention, who want guidance, read it. They will realize, really, what am I worshipping? Am I really worshipping a Father and a Son and a Holy Ghost who are somehow one God? Is this really logical? Those who have intellect, those who want to be guided, this will remind them. Those who don't, nothing will work. If Allah in the Quran is warning them from the hellfire and they have no means, they have no intention to change their ways, what are you going to do in terms of scaring them? Nothing will work with these people. So your job is to convey the message, make the truth look wonderful. Tawheed is beautiful. Shirk is ugly. Once you have done that, then you have done your job. This is what we were commanded in the Quran, and this is what the Prophet ﷺ did in his Sunnah. This is Islam. You don't say, Wallah, okay, you're a Christian, I respect your religion, you respect mine. Yeah? Yes.
Surah Kafirun.
Surah Kafirun. Hey, what about it?
It says, you know, unto you your age, unto me mine.
But what? How does it say? How does the surah begin? Say, all disbelievers, I don't worship what you worship, what I worship. You don't worship what I worship, and you don't worship what I worship, and I don't worship what you worship. The surah began by bow. Not kul, say. Yeah, don't say, hey non-Muslims, hey my friends, say, hey disbelievers, kafirun, la a'budu ma ta'budun. I don't worship what you worship, and you don't worship what I worship. See this, right? Right. At the end, this is why the ulama say, if you want to read the tafsir of the surah, after you have done this message, I don't worship your God, and you don't worship Allah. You're worshiping some other thing, and I will never worship your God. Once it's all been done, then when they don't want, then lakum dinukum waliya deen. You will have your religion and I have mine. This is after what? After conveying the message, not in the beginning. Not in the beginning. Is that clear? So no one will have any misconceptions. Right? We are to convey the deen of Allah to the, now in the nicest way. In the nicest way. For example, what I mentioned, the poem. Okay? Do you think that if a Christian came to my office, I will sit with him and say, excuse me, just one second, I pull out my poetry and I start reading it to him? No. At that moment, in that area, wisdom entails that you don't use this approach. You sit down and say, you know, what do you believe? And you have a nice rational conversation with the person while giving him qahwa, shai, sandwiches, everything to make the mood correct so he can convey the message. But with the pen, behind the scenes, that's a whole other approach. So the poetry may not be applicable or is not applicable with a one-on-one situation. Or even if I'm addressing a Christian crowd, right? I'm giving lectures to Christians, I will not use this poem in that circumstance, right? So the issue is then, you have to deal with the situation according to need. But what is the foundation? You must convey the deen of Allah. It is not, you know, like, you know, okay, you can be disbeliever, no problem. Would you really allow someone to disbelieve in Allah and go to the hellfire? What a lousy human being you are. If you know that if this person doesn't become guided, they will go to hell and you have no problem, you're a bad person. You don't care enough. And we should care enough, right? We should have that feeling of care, genuine care, for the children of Adam. Because at the end of the day, we are brothers and sisters in humanity. Even though we don't use this all the time. But the essence is that Adam is my father and this person's father. And if you don't want your blood brother to go to the hellfire, then you shouldn't want this for another human being. So out of this genuine feeling, you give them da'wah. You don't leave them alone. How do you do so? By making the truth appear nice and attractive. And the falsehood appear, unappealing and just repulsive. So the people realize that they are upon error. Because most people do not even realize that they are upon error and they are blaspheming against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. وَيُخْبِرُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَقًّا أَنَّهُمْ لَا يُنْفِقُونَ إِلَّا جزاك الله خيراً أنهم لا ينفقون إلا لطلب مرضات ربهم واحتساب ثوابه لأن إيمانهم يدعوهم إلى ذلك. And Allah informed us that the true believers only spend seeking the pleasure of Allah and His reward, because their iman, their faith in Allah invites them to that. They don't have other intentions. They have single intentions. فَهَذَا خَيْرٌ وَتَسْكِيَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This is goodness and purification from Allah to the believers. وَيَتَضَمَّنَ التَّذْكِيرُ لَهُمْ بِالْإِخْلَاصِ. And it also includes, there's a subliminal message in there that they should be sincere. That you only do this for the sake of Allah, meaning Allah is reminding us that when you do the good deed, do it for the sake of Allah. وَكَرَّرَ عِلْمَهُ تَعَالَى بِنَفَقَاتِهِمْ لِإِعْلَامِهِمْ أَنَّهُ لَا يَضِيعُ عِنْدَهُ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ وَإِنْ تَكُ حَسَنَةً يُضَاعِفْهَا وَيُؤْتِ مِنْ لَدُنْهُ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. And Allah reminded us again that He knows about the spending which we have, as means of reminding us again that everything will be brought to account. Not even the grain, not even the weight of a grain will be wasted from your good deeds. And that Allah Azza wa Jal will get that small deed and He will multiply it for you. He will multiply it for you and He will give accordingly an abundance of reward. So we know, for example, if you read the Quran, if you recite one letter of the Quran, how many good deeds will you get?
Ten
good deeds. Al-hasanatu bi-ashri amthaliha. The good deed is multiplied by 10. This is what? Minimum. وَيُضَاعِفُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ. And Allah multiplies more than that to whomever He wills. So you may read one chapter of the Quran and get thousands and thousands and thousands of good deeds. Why? Because maybe you were reflecting upon the surah, you were reading with sincerity, your heart was in a state of humbleness. Whatever your condition was, you know, this will also affect the reward or the amount of reward which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. طيب, we can quickly deal with this ayah.
للفقراء الذين أحصروا في سبيل الله لا يستطيعون ضربا في الأرض يحسبهم الجاهل أغنياء من التعفف تعرفهم بسيماهم لا يسألون الناس إلحافا وما تنفقوا من خير فإن الله به عليم.
We'll just deal with this one. Verse 273, can someone read the interpretation of the meaning in English, please? 273.
Is fuqara, who in Allah's cause are restricted from travel and cannot move about in the land or play or work, the one who knows them not thinks that they are rich because of their modesty. You may know them by their marks. They do not beg of people at all, and whatever you spend of wood, surely Allah knows it well.
بارك الله فيك. يعني أنه ينبغي أن تتحروا بصدقاتكم الفقراء الذين حبسوا أنفسهم في سبيل الله وعلى طاعته. The Shaykh said that Allah Azza wa Jal is trying to indicate to us that we should seek while giving charity, particularly the poor and the needy who have kept themselves in the way of Allah. They are holding themselves in struggling in the path of Allah and upon His obedience. وليس لهم إرادة في الاكتساب أو ليس لهم قدرة عليه. And they have no ability to seek provision. They are unable to earn a living. Someone who is handicapped, someone who is working in the cause of Allah, and that is preoccupying him from being able to get a job and get a salary. These are the people who should be aimed for in the beginning when we are looking for those whom we will give sadaqah. وهم يتعففون إذا رآهم الجاهل ظن أنهم أغنياء. But their quality is that they do not ask, so much so that if one who doesn't know better sees them, he will think they're rich. He will think that they're rich, meaning they are not the ones who are wearing a thawb which is ripped in half and going around, you know, begging people in the masajid. These are not the ones. It is those who you will not know that they are in the state of need. However, they are in the state of need. These are the quality which Allah Azza wa Jal gave them. لا يسألون الناس الحافة فهم لا يسألون بالكلية وإذا سألوا اضطرارا لم يلحفوا في السؤال. They don't ask people completely, and if ever they need to ask, they're not redundant. They're not, you know, they don't beg, they don't go to a low level of asking, you know. They just make it clear to you, listen, I'm in a situation, I have a financial need, and they move about their business. If you help them, alhamdulillah, but he doesn't give you a story and he stands in front of you and he cries and all this, these are again not whom Allah is describing. And we're not saying that someone who does that is a liar or is no, Allah knows about the intentions of the heart. We cannot. When you see someone stand in the masjid after salah and he starts, you know, saying, and he may lift up his tawb and show you some things, we don't know. Don't think evil, because he may be really in a bad situation, right? So we stay neutral. Say, alhamdulillah alladhi afani mimma abtalaka bihi wa faddalani ala kathiran mimman khalaqa tafdila. This is the sunnah. When you see someone afflicted with a calamity, you say, alhamdulillah, who has protected me from that which he afflicted you with, not in his face. And he has favored me over many of his creation, abundantly. Alhamdulillah that I'm not in your situation. But don't start thinking he's a liar, you know. You don't know. Maybe he was really in a bad situation. So, you know, we don't want to gain sin while oppressing people. But the quality of those whom Allah described, they don't do this. They don't do this. فَهَذَا الصِّنْفُ مِنَ الْفُقَرَاءِ أَفْضَلْ مَنْ وُضِعَتْ فِيهِمُ النَّفَقَاتِ لدفع حاجتهم وإعانة لهم على مقصدهم وطريق الخير. Excuse me. This group of poor people are the best on whom you spend. Are the best on whom you spend in order to fulfill their needs and to help them in attaining that which they are aiming for. وَشُكْرًا لَهُمْ عَلَى مَا اتَّصَفُوا بِهِ مِنَ الصَّبْرِ وَالنَّظَرِ إِلَى الْخَالِقِ لَا الْخَلْقِ. And as means of appreciation to them that they were patient and that they were looking for the gifts from Allah, not from the creation. They depended on Allah, so they didn't ask. Because they depended on Allah, they didn't ask, it came to them. So you show them their appreciation. Whereas when they come and ask you, then in essence they're asking you before they ask Allah. ومع ذلك فالإنفاق في طرق الإحسان وعلى المحاويج حيثما كان فإنه خير وأجر وثواب عند الله. However, a reminder, all kinds of spending, in all kinds of situations, it is good and rewarding and pleasing to Allah. The fact that Allah is mentioning that which is more virtuous, that which is more superior, that which is more rewarding, does not mean that the rest are no good. This is only the best. However, you may spend on someone who is not in that situation. And you may give someone money to someone who begs, you know, publicly. All this will be rewarded by Allah. Nothing will go to waste on the condition that you are sincere and that you do it according to the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. طيب, the last verse we will deal with this particular morning, verse 274, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً فَلَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. This is a conclusive ayah. Those who spend their wealth in the evening and in the day, in public, in secret and in public, their reward is with their Lord, and there shall be no fear over them, nor shall they grieve. They shall have no fear, nor shall they grieve. And the Shaykh will explain. يعني أنه ينبغي أن تتحروا بصدقاتكم الفقراء عفوا فإن الله يظلهم بظله يوم لا ظل إلا ظله. Those who spend then in the night and the day, in secret public, those Allah will shade under His shade on the day, which is the day of judgment, where there is no shade but His shade. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يُنِيلُهُمُ الْخَيْرَاتِ وَيَدْفَ عَنْهُمُ الْأَحْزَانُ وَالْمَخَاوِفُ وَالْكَرِيهَاتِ. Allah will give him an abundance of reward, and He will remove away from them all means of sadness, all means of grief, all means of fear. وقوله فلهم أجرهم عند ربهم أي كل أحد منهم بحسب حاله. Their reward is with their Lord, meaning each according to his situation, each according to his intentions. وتخصيص ذلك بأنهم عند ربهم يدل على شرف هذه الحال ووقوعها في الموقع الأكبر. The fact that Allah used the expression عند ربهم, with their Lord, shows how virtuous this act is. That Allah Azza wa Jal included His name and included the special rububiyyah, the special lordship, the special mastery which He has over these servants. عند ربهم, with their Lord. This is the closest of connection because of spending in Allah's cause subhanahu wa ta'ala. كما في الحديث الصحيح إن العبد لا يتصدق بالتمرة من كسب طيب فيتقبلها الجبار بيده فيربيها لأحدكم كما يربي أحدكم فلوه حتى تكون مثل الجبل العظيم. As it comes in the narration, authentic narration, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, verily the servant will give a sadaqah, a date. You know the date you eat during Ramadan. Because some people think dates are something else. I mean, there are other dates, right? But we're not speaking about those. You give a date in sadaqah from lawful earning. From lawful earning, the most irresistible will receive it with his hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he will continue to raise it for you like one of you will raise an animal of his, until it will become like a huge mountain. Huge mountain, what? A single date in sabaqah. Yani a riyal is more than a date, right? A date is equal, how many dates will you get with one riyal? A few of them. If you give one riyal, how much more will it be? If you give a date, Allah will continue to raise it for you until it becomes a huge mountain, a date. Then what if you gave a riyal? 5 riyals, 10 riyals, you see? But what do we need to seek? The right people to give sadaqah, and the good intentions. Give it to the right people with the good intentions. Who are the best and most deserving among the poor? Your relatives. Your relatives. These are, if there's a situation where you have sadaqah and you have needy relatives, they are more deserving than anyone else. You will get the reward of sadaqah and keeping the kinship ties, keeping the blood ties, which is double reward for the person. Right? And this is of course an extensive discussion here. Next week, bi'idhnillah azza wa jal, we'll be dealing with a very, very, very dangerous concept in Islam, riba, usury, interest, and what is related to that in terms of punishment. We ask Allah to protect us all. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.